Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. February 28, 2017. The purpose of life. Question: what is the purpose of life? Answer: the purpose of life is to reach the center of the connection between us in order to feel the exit into the next dimension. Question: who determines the goal of our development? Answer: nature pushes us towards reaching the goal. Kabbalah helps to reveal it, to advance us further so that we fulfill our task faster, without nature thrusting us into this system by a stick. From a virtual lesson, the 30th of October 2016. Rising above earthly forces. Question: are there geographical places where the good force or the evil force prevail? Answer: yes. There are places on earth where the positive force operates more and assists a person's development, and other places where it doesn't. But, at the same time, I wish to emphasize that the most important thing is the unity between us. By connecting, we ascend by several orders of magnitude higher than the earth, with all its impact upon us. If people wish to overcome their egoism for the sake of unity, they rise higher than all of nature, so it makes no difference how it affects them or where they are, even if they are in the most terrible place on earth. It is said that the land of Israel totally destroys its inhabitants and that it is a blessed holy land. It is holy only for people who unite, because when they do, they receive the life-giving force from it, and if they don't, this land totally destroys them and throws them out. I don't advise you to indulge in different historical and geographical descriptions, because if we unite, we will overcome all the problems and they will serve us and will not be against us. Ignore the different mystic or extrasensory influences, because when people unite, they ascend to stronger levels of influence than any of the earthly influences. If 10 people begin to work between them on establishing a mutual connection, the next level of creation will be revealed between them. They will begin to discover that they are not just ordinary human beings, but they created a special spiritual center, a vessel, in which they will begin to feel the spiritual world, the force that appears between them, the Creator. From the Kabbalah lesson in Russian, the 14th of August 2016. What is sin? Question: what is sin? Answer: sin is using the ego to harm others, but it is possible to explain the use of the ego in different ways. For example, I can cut down a tree that is still growing, and according to the definition in our world, it is not a sin, even though on the spiritual level it is a sin. If a person in our world uses more than is necessary for his normal, respectable existence, all usage above this level is called a sin. This is talking about regular physical existence on a normal material level. Every beast automatically strives for this. If you give a cake to a cow or champagne to a horse, they will not touch them and they will not lie down on a feather bed. They require only what is necessary for their bodies. Even a person needs only what is required for his physical body and no more than this. Everything else should be directed towards spiritual attainment, going out to the spiritual world. This entire life is given to a person to discover the soul in order to attain the upper world, to exit to the upper world during his lifetime. A sin is when a person is not engaged with this. Question: for a person involved with art, writing books, painting, music, accumulating money in the bank, earning interest, and so forth, is all of this sin? Answer: no, but he is not carrying out his mission. All of the inclinations a person has for all the various arts and sciences are given to him only for spiritual expression, directing the world toward unity. Everything else only confuses him. From Cab TV's News with Michael Leitman, January 9, 2016. Are there countries in the spiritual world? Question: the earth is often compared to a living creature, and countries and continents to human organs. Russia, for example, is the head, the Earth's brain, the US is the spine, etc. How true is this from a Kabbalistic perspective? Answer: I haven't seen similar Kabbalistic descriptions of spiritual geography, and I think all this is speculation. There are 70 nations in the world that are included in one unique body called man, and we have to reach the right combination and an internal connection. In the spiritual world there are no separate US and Russia because it is not their spiritual roots. Countries are the temporary formation that exists now within a certain border and not too long ago had a different border. Who knows what the future will be? We shouldn't tie ourselves to the corporeal reality. It is useless. Question: but the Ari mentions countries like Syria, Jordan, and Lebanon? Answer: the Ari did indeed mention these countries in his writings because they have distinct spiritual roots. He only speaks of them as they go from Babylon all the way to the land of Israel, and that's all. From the Kabbalah lesson in Russian, the 14th of August 2016. America welcomes its new president, Part 2. Question: how do we reconcile the two camps American society has split into because of the new president? Answer: they can't be reconciled. The part that has currently received power and strength will create a new system and begin to govern. The second part that calls itself Democrats will have to comply with their governance. We shouldn't regret it. After all, what good has Obama done during his entire presidency? He arranged the Arab Spring and blew up the entire Middle East so that crowds of refugees flooded Europe. Look what Obama did with Europe. Show me one place where he brought a benefit, there isn't one. However, the huge lie that media channels were spreading about his activities led to the fact that he was re-elected for a second term. This only shows that the world is susceptible to any lie. Now the situation will change slightly. It's a miracle that Trump was able to come to power, and the opposition, the ultra-liberal force, demonstrated the impossibility of continuing in the old way. Of course, Trump is still very far from the corrected society of genuine democracy and pluralism. It's just the tendency toward correction of the people, society, and the world. The governments of Obama and Hillary Clinton intended to destroy the world and dominate through the destruction, but this will never work. They also destroyed America. It has lost all of its industry. Even a small change in law could have produced dramatic improvements, but they acted in the opposite way and were pushing the country into the abyss. We can say that the part of the population that voted for Trump managed to come round at the last moment and say, enough. These are the people associated with the work, with the earth, and with religion, and they understand how dangerous the current situation in the country is. It is only called democracy and liberalism. Democracy means the power of people, but where was this power of people? Liberalism exists only as a philosophical concept, but in practice it translates into total anarchy where everyone does what he wants. In the Torah, a system where everyone does as he pleases is defined as the most vicious. After all, this means that egoism unfolds without any restrictions. We have come to this state in all fields of human activity, in food, sex, and family. It is impossible to leave egoism without any reins. Question: in Europe, the right-wing forces are meeting at the moment and they plan to follow Trump's example. How do you see the future of Europe? Answer: it would be good if these changes will happen in the middle line, otherwise Europe awaits a fascist regime. Balha Sulam warned that further development can go either toward the correction of the world or towards fascism. And we see that his predictions are coming true. So goes the recognition of evil. Slowly people recognize the evil of human nature and the necessity to correct it somehow. At least they are coming closer to the truth. The correct direction becomes revealed a little. So far no one talks about the correction of a person because there is no method that makes it possible to do this. Therefore, they only think of how to correct the system that controls egoistic people and not about correcting a person. Yet, Kabbalah says that it is pointless to correct the system, only a person has to be corrected because he is the root of the entire evil. This is the whole difference. Gradually, they will realize that it is impossible to build a good system. Who could create it? Trump is certainly better than Hillary Clinton and Obama, and this is a step toward the correction of the world, but the correction can't be realized through him. Question. Presently, a Congress of the European right-wing forces is being held in Germany. All right-wing leaders were unanimous in their desire to return to the care and strengthening of their own countries. Answer: this is understandable because the integration is over. It was wrong from the beginning. 20 years ago, it was clear that it was destined to fall apart. Therefore, it is time to finish with it before it collapses completely and to save what is still possible to save. The world was on the brink of an abyss, facing a new world war, but stopped at the last moment. Although it is not clear how much of his program Trump will be able to implement, he will not be able to separate America from the world and return industry to it. Most importantly, it is an internal problem that split America into two parts. After all, the new generation is very spoiled and accustomed to live on welfare. It is necessary to undertake the education of a large number of people. What kind of work can be given to people who have been unemployed for 20 years? They don't know what work is. They have led a free lifestyle and have done nothing else. It is impossible to make them work. We have to start with education. Trump should give Americans an integral education and make them an example for the entire world. Let's hope that he will suddenly get this thought in his mind and the desire in his heart. The world shows every day that it is more and more ripe for correction. It is obvious that the world needs change, but no one yet knows where to make them. From the third part of the Daily Kabbalah lesson, January 11, 2017, lesson on the topic, Air as a Document. New Life Number 408. Corruption.
Hello, and thanks for being with us here on the New Life Show, a series of talks with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Yael Shadael. Hello. On our show, every time we take a different phenomenon and try to look at it from different angles, shed some new light on it, and today we're going to talk about a not-so-pleasant phenomenon, corruption. Let's hope that we'll come out with a better feeling at the end of the discussion. This is our goal. Yael, please. Yeah, in recent years, we see a list of corruptions happening at the highest political levels, embezzlement, bribery, promoting your own interests, favoritism. And the general feeling is that that became a routine in our society, and this really worries us. We feel that things aren't getting better, but on the contrary, things are getting much worse. We feel helpless. We feel that anyone who is in a position of power can use it, and not necessarily for our benefit, and usually it's for their own benefit, to promote their own interests. We'd like for this to end, but eventually we feel that we're pretty much despaired. We're not doing anything, we're not taking to the streets, we're not doing anything active in order to prevent this phenomena that really worries us. And talking about a few numbers, starting with the economical price of corruption, we're talking about 3.5 billion shekels a year, according to the data we got from the Ministry of Public Security in Israel. 73% of Israelis are sure that our government is led by a bunch of lobbyists. Almost 90% of the public are sure that you have to know people in order to promote your affairs with different offices, which is the highest number among all the European countries that took part in this survey. And the two most corrupted, or perceived to be most corrupted, offices in politics are the parties and the religious bodies, where in the rest of the world, the religious bodies are considered to be the cleanest bodies. So we'd like to ask you, how do you see corruption, this phenomenon? I see it as something very normal, regular. I'm calm about it. What do you mean? I don't understand. As if don't understand. Why is there so much noise around it throughout all of history? There was no corruption. No corruption, but there was a king that what he wanted, this is what he did. That's it. If he does what he wants, there's no corruption. But that's the king. Also his ministers, every minister had his share. And he did what he did in his field, in his area. And that's it. And there were slaves, or behind the slaves there were the vassals that are also enslaved to the kingship and to those serving the kingship, the government. And the king he was accepted because even the Pope blessed him, increasing his esteem, his work. And so, towards the king, there was the same kind of fear, like towards the upper force, and the same kind of attitude. And also towards his ministers and everyone, meaning they did as they please, and no one asked any questions, and also no one had the brains to ask how much are they stealing or not stealing. It's all theirs. And that's it. Suddenly, a new life began after thousands of years of normal development, where those in the regime, this entire elite, did what it wanted to without asking and wasn't afraid or ashamed, but everything's theirs and they deserve it. And the common people accepted it as a given from above. Suddenly, we come to some kind of a strange kind of development in humanity, in human society, that we want freedom, equality. Oh, the French Revolution suddenly comes with its principles. It's actually so non-typical of the French. They made this revolution as a kind of a party. They chopped off a few heads with a guillotine, and they came down. This is exactly the French spirit. And that's it. But the rest of the world became different as a result. Not as a result of that, but as a result of people's inner development, where they started to feel that the inner freedom is something that everyone has to have, that people are born equal, and it can't be that one person will control another person. And even if I'm working for someone, I have privileges, I have freedom, I have the ability to leave my boss and go and look for another place and become boss myself, or work for someone else, but according to certain rules, regulations, work contract. And even if we continue with the monarchy, but it's no longer an ordinary monarchy, but a constitutional monarchy, meaning it's limited, that even though there's a king, but he barely has any rights compared with the parliament. And the parliament is chosen by the people. And when there was a parliament in which there are common people, well, I'm not talking about England, where you still have lords, and It's also a matter where you have to understand the English character. But if we're already talking about parliament, then each and every one of the ordinary people can actually become even president. For example, Obama. Very conspicuous example, and also in Europe and in South America, each has their own style. Some come from revolutions, some from struggle, some from something else, but it's already clear to an ordinary person that whoever's there at the top, he's just like me. And if he's like me, then he has to behave according to the same rules that are demanded of me. And there are rules for the president, for the prime minister, and there are rules for an ordinary person. But these are rules. And everyone has to keep these rules within their framework and work for the benefit of the country, of society, for the benefit of everyone. It's not like in the past, we all looked at the king and did everything only in favor of the monarchy. No. Today it's different. And when the matter of equality began, and that we all have to keep the laws, then we started asking, who keeps them and who doesn't? If I don't keep something, you know, a simple person, I steal here, I steal there, a few pennies, I'm lazy at work, I make a bit of something on the side, I do little stuff. Maybe I play cards and it's not allowed. I don't know, I smoke pot, maybe it's allowed, maybe it isn't, maybe I even steal a bit at work. I see that I'm taken seriously. I see that there's the police and there's the government and they want to put me back in place. Meaning the ordinary person, the simple people that are stealing petty amounts and stir their actions and so on. And when he does it because he really doesn't have. So it's an additional income. Yeah, so he doesn't pay the IRS what he owes. So it's all in all in order to benefit his family a bit. We see people that are in government and, you know, the thefts there are in millions and billions. This is from what we know and what we don't know. And all the inner business that they're doing, which we don't know about at all. But it explodes only on condition that they disagree on something, that one snitches on the other. But where they agree, then everyone covers for everyone, and it's very quiet. Meaning there are such thefts going on there, and it's from the public. It's all public funds. Either it's built in a way that they don't pay taxes for it, or it's given to some people to build something and later they get benefits out of it in one direction or another. In short, there it's much worse. And the police doesn't go there. They go there on condition that because there is a dispute between them, then one snitches on the other and there is a struggle between them that can be solved only in court. And also there you have different ways of solving it. One way or another, the people understand, the common people understand that these thefts, the so-called corruption, it comes to such sum totals that we can't even imagine. I think that it's dozens of percents of the total government budget. Dozens of percents. And in general, all these parties, the way they argue, they're all the time concerned with how to protect themselves, how to get rid of the others. They're not concerned with the country, with the people, with making better laws, but they're concerned with how do I get rid of the others and come to power myself. Myself meaning my party. This is what it's all about all the time. And this is the only thing that they're thinking about. So, of course, the ordinary citizen is not taken into consideration, but only their party is. So corruption is not only in terms of money, but it's corruption in the way the regime, the power is used, the media is used, the use of the educational systems, where everything is directed only in order to build an electorate for themselves, meaning supporters, voters, that I have to care only for my part, my sector, that vote for me, and then I'm calm. The more they are, the more powerful they are. By that, I secure a good future for myself, and I can steal more and strengthen myself and so on. All these things are happening in a closed circle, and that it's happening in Israel, of course, that it also happens in other countries, for sure, but the question is, to what extent? We, because our entire development in the past dozens of years is a very sharply egoistic development, an exponential development, that our ego is growing limitlessly. So we see that these people, they simply go mad. You can't stop them. Their ability drives them crazy. Finally, I'm in power. I have my share. It's the time that it's mine for now. To enjoy what I have. If I got where I am, first of all, I owe those who supported me, that there were many tycoons and people that supported me in order to put me in power. Now, I have to pay them back. I have to help them make more millions because they supported me during the elections. And that's how it goes. We help each other out. Yeah. And there's no way out. But we have to understand. How long will this go on? Until the people, well, thank God we're already in the state where the people are really despaired of any form of regime, any form of government. And what do? If there's nothing besides that, there isn't. Meaning the current government, that there's a struggle between them, even though the struggle is becoming something like a showcase, display. There's no struggle, they finish all the business between themselves. It's all arranged so that I'll give you, you give me, how much of this, how much of that, and everything falls into place. But what follows is that they take the people out of the equation altogether. And what does that cause? It brings to a state where, if in the past, when there was a king, and we listened to what he says and obeyed that, because it's the monarchy, that besides him being first in the country, he was also number one in church, being the head. He had all the strings of how to control the country in his hands. He was also the head of government, the head of the army, the head of religion. And then everything's in his hands. That was later on divided throughout history as we started approaching our times. But the problem is that in our times, we passed all of these stages, and we came to a state where we see that even though that the people are changing, and even though that we as if choose people, but it's not really choosing. Anyone who comes to power has to play, has to act out the same role as long as they're in power, and also those in power today are doing the very same thing. And there's no big difference between all these people, even right and left. Not with respect to the people, but with respect to, suppose, war and peace, all these things. There's also not that much of a difference, because a person who's at the top sees that his hands are tied, that all the parties and all the local circumstances and government, and all the conditions he has at his borders, all the economical circumstances in trade and world opinion, internal affairs, all these things lock him in so much that he has barely anything left by which to control the country, internally wise, in politics and internal and foreign affairs. But again, going back to everyone simply being concerned with their pocket and their chair. You're describing social processes that, well, the truth is that all of us, it's human nature, that I always do what's beneficial for myself. Whoever is in a better position of power has the ability to be more corrupt. Ordinary people, yeah, I'm not saying anything new. It's all clear. From the history of the past few centuries, we see that that's how it is in all countries. And if there are still some rulers in South America or Asia, then soon they'll be replaced and they'll have a parliament or a republic there and so on. But it's going and growing, the phenomenon itself in recent years. We are at a dead end. That's the problem, that we don't know how to replace the regime. What's the right kind of regime? And even though that each one of us has inside of him some kind of a depiction of the kind of country that we should have, what is a good, correct, clean kind of country, corrected country? But no one knows, neither the people nor the rulers, even though that they all think that they do know how to do it, no one knows how to do it. And here we need what we call the education of the people, that you can't make the slightest change, neither in society, nor in the people, nor in the country, nor in any of the forms of education or culture or the relations between people or the relations between the employee and the boss, unless we change man himself. Meaning we reached a state where we did everything we could. We exhausted everything we had. And we tried to work with our ego in different ways. And all in all, we have no further way to work with it, but only to start correcting itself. Meaning not that I correct the world, the government, the environment, or something, but I have to correct myself. And if I correct myself, then as a result, society will become corrected, and the government, and the country, and everything. What's the relation, the connection between correcting myself and corruption? This I don't get. because it all depends on the person. If in the past we had no corruption because everything belonged to the king and he was allowed to do whatever he wants, afterwards there was corruption that is somehow agreed upon among the leaders, the great ones, and we, the little ones, you know, they're big officers having big positions in the government, so I'm not asking about that. They're bourgeois, and I'm a simple person, little simple person. So, but now that we say that everyone's equal, so if a person is in some kind of a position and he has to make a living from that position and he has to function in that position, so he deserves to receive such and such a salary. But he uses his position for his own benefit. That's called corruption. What does it cause in our society? Because there's actually something that we're exerting against our society. We're as if introducing a kind of disease into our society. We can't do it any other way. We want for our benefit and we harm others. It doesn't work because man is made that way. That's his nature. Until we change human nature, it'll continue this way. Meaning, we can't set a different kind of connection between us now, which we call government, society, politics. It won't help. Everyone's yelling, I'll do it, I'll do it. Who are you to do it? You're an egoist, just like everyone else. You'll do the same, maybe a bit differently. And especially you'll come to power in order to steal like everyone else. We see this. We're already experienced in the field. Meaning, we have no other advice left, but instead of correcting our relations, to first of all correct man, and then our relations will change. If a corrected person would be in power, he wouldn't be corrupt. How could it influence him? How could it affect him if for him, the main thing is to see the country, the people, in a corrected manner. If he has a superior idea, exalted idea beyond any of his personal values, how could it be that he'll be in pursuit of money or honor? Tell me, what will he pursue? The upper idea. What is the upper idea? The upper idea is to bring everyone to perfection, to bring his people, his country, to the best possible state, the right kind of connection, quality. Today, is there such an option that someone will enter the political system and behave differently? No. For this, he has to be a corrected person. For his ego to be corrected. That instead of having a desire to take everything for my own benefit, to have a desire to bestow to others. Meaning what? Meaning to know what the others need and to want to fulfill them with everything possible. And then, according to that desire, you create circumstances for him, a place from where he can bestow to others, and then you have grading. To the extent to which a person is corrected, according to the extent of his correction, he deserves to be on such and such level in order to bestow to others. He corrected himself internally even more. He has a greater ability to bestow to others, so you give him more. The media, the treasury, the educational system, cultural system, the military, and so on, according to his ability to work for the benefit of society and not for his own benefit, meaning according to the level of the correction of his ego. And how will the public judge who's corrected more or less in order to give him the power? The public has to also be in a certain corrected state for that. What do you mean? Meaning for everyone to be connected, for them to want to be connected, to have ties of love between them, of love another as thyself. They have to be drawn to it. It has to really be a homogeneous platform for all the people. Homogeneous how? In integral education, in the wisdom of connection. So you're saying that there can be an uncorrupted regime. Yes, but after the correction, and we're getting there. Our time's up. Thank you very much, Dr. Lightman. Thank you, Yael. Thanks for being with us. Till next time, all the best.